It's good to be on the winning side.
It is.
Are you ready for some word this morning?
Yes.
Well, I've been praying about the first service here for some time. This is the message I believe I'm supposed to minister this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Pastor Jack.
Yes.
First of all, I want to tell you I had a word. New beginnings.
New beginnings. We receive that.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord God. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you've been in here long, it's a passage or a verse we're well familiar with. It's talking about Jesus. And if we start reading at verse number 22, it says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again." In other words, listen, this is part of the message. They attacked Jesus. They mocked him. They tortured him. They killed him. But as in amongst all of it, he didn't attack back. In other words, he didn't use the power of his words to release curse upon the people that were attacking him. Or curse-filled words, you follow me? He didn't say, "Get him, God." I might have been guilty of that a time or two in the past. He recognized the frailty of humanity. It says, "When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." He trusted the judgment of God to deal with things. "Who his own self, Jesus, bear our sins in his own body on the tree." Now stop right there. How many believe Jesus died for our sins?
Yes.
Amen.
If you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the greatest miracle you'll ever know takes place. God comes inside of you, comes inside of us, takes out the nature of sin, the nature of selfishness, and puts in you a new nature.
Yes.
You're born again. The Bible says you're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're made as righteous as Jesus when you get born again.
Right.
Internally, understand the flesh still has a sin inclination. The soul still knows how to sin, but inside the real you, God made a new creation.
Amen.
Yes.
Right? Old things are passed away.
All things
are become new. He takes away your sin nature, not just your sin. And now you want to do the things of God. You still make mistakes. I know you look at me and think I'm perfect. But I brought my drill off that ladder last night and said, "Oh, crying."
He did.
And maybe you said worse stuff in the past. We still have a flesh that tends to want to lean towards sin. That wants to give way to frustration or whatever. But God rebirthed the real you. The real you is a spirit. And he made it sin free. Because he went to the cross on our behalf, we get to go to heaven prepaid, right?
Amen.
But the verse doesn't stop there. It says that we, being dead to sins, shall live under righteousness. You're not a sinner anymore. Now the Spirit of God is going to speak through you to have you live in a holy fashion.
Yeah.
I don't do the things I used to do. Anybody in that same boat?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And then he says, "By whose stripes you were healed."
Yeah.
Now that's the verse we're going to focus on this morning. By whose stripes you were healed. Before Jesus was nailed to the cross, they tied him to a whipping post and they scourged him. They beat him to the point of near death. When you would scourge somebody, you would take a whip. Some say there was glass or metal embedded in the strands. And you beat them and it virtually strips away the flesh on the back. In some cases it would be fatal. They shredded his back. A horrible, torturous punishment. And since he did that for our healing, say healing.
Healing.
We know we have through the cross, through the scourging, a covenant with God for divine healing and divine health.
Yes.
Listen, I personally believe we never have to be sick another day of our lives.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You have to use your faith to get into that.
Yes.
Right? We have to battle some symptoms to go through.
Yes.
But we have a right to walk healed.
Yes.
Moses was 120 years old with full strength and perfect vision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many believe Jesus was ever sick a day of his life?
No.
We have the same covenant. By his stripes, he paid the price for our healing. How many have heard this before?
Amen.
Most people in here have heard this before. So we pray for people to be healed all the time. And in most cases, it's instantaneous. Do you follow me? Again, we can do testimonies all morning of healing testimonies in here. In fact, who in here has received a healing from coming here for prayer in the past? Hold your hand up. See this? Some of them major. In fact, I've got to be used to prayer to raise two people from the dead. Well, I used to speak that. I will raise people from the dead. Now it's happening. I don't believe all that. I know, and you probably won't see it happen in your life. But I believe in speaking.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not trying to build me up. I'm trying to tell you there's a covenant we have for divine healing and divine health.
Yeah, amen.
Right? But a lot of people stop with the interpretation of that passage, meaning we can physically be healed. But there's really more to it. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Sound ready?
Ready.
I want to be healed.
I want to be healed.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now what happened was, back in January, I was in Illinois ministering at the Central Illinois Watershed Conference. I was permitted to be one of the main speakers. And the first speaker was Pastor Rob Martin. That's Pastor Bob's son. And he had some questions he was wanting answers to. He'd just been asking God. And one of them was, if Jesus was purchasing healing for our bodies, why did he have to take such a torturous punishment? Wouldn't one drop of his blood be enough? Still his blood? Wouldn't one slap on the face be sufficient to pay for our healing? Why did he receive such a horrible, again, torturous punishment for our healing? How many want to see why? Because when it came my turn, I shared why. That is what I shared at Watershed, what I'm sharing with you this morning. And it's answered in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start reading at verse number 16. And he's talking about communion. Before we're done this morning, we're going to take communion together. He says, this cup of blessing, verse 16, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? How many believe when we take communion, it doesn't turn into blood, but it represents the blood Jesus shed?
Yes.
It represents the blood that was shed to pay for our redemption. For our deliverance from sin.
Yes.
Right? And guess what? When they plunged the spear on him, he lost all of his blood. I mean, it poured out. Right? Hit the ground to pay for redemption for the entire earth. Blood and water hit the ground, and it was finished. Right? So he says, the cup of blessing which we partake of, we bless this and not the communion. See the word communion? It's the word in the Greek, koinonia. It means fellowship. It's not the fellowship purchased by the blood of Christ. See, when Jesus went to the cross, and he paid the price for us to become righteous through being born again, it was to allow us to come into fellowship with God.
Amen.
Now we can come to God in prayer without any division between us, out of any shame, without any fear. If you're born again, and you're walking after God, you have a right to one-on-one communion with the Father.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so it's the fellowship of the blood of Christ. But look at this. The bread which we break. Now we talk about this all the time. We take the bread and the cup. It doesn't actually become the flesh of Jesus. It represents the flesh that was broken. And when you break the bread, I like to break mine up a little bit more than just snap it in two. Because his body was shredded. You following? He says, The bread which we break, is it not the communion or fellowship of the body of Christ? Let me tell you what I believe the bread represents at the highest levels. When he says, by his stripes you were healed, what it really represents at the highest levels. Jesus is the head of a body that was birthed when he went to the cross. And we get born again, we become members of His body. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You're a member of the body of Christ. And He says, the stripes that I took, which is really the bread which we break, same representation, is the fellowship of the body of Christ. The stripes He took primarily were to pay the price for us to come together without division. His body was broken so the body of Christ could be made whole. Which means we are assigned of God to become a body without division. I'm having some signs made up. I hope to have them made up this week. They'll hang in each entryway. Over here is going to say you're now entering into a... You're now entering into a training center of the kingdom of heaven. Over here is going to say within these walls, no division exists.
Amen.
You follow me?
Yeah.
That represents the body of Christ being broken. There's no division.
Amen.
So Pastor Rob said, then why was he beaten so bad? Here's where I'm going with the message. Many, if not all of us, at some time or another, have been hurt within the church. Some have been attacked by pastors. Some have been abused. Others have been rejected. Felt alienated. Some way been hurt within the church. And Jesus says, that's like sickness in the body. It's trying to remove you from your assigned position.
Yeah.
And I took the most horrible punishment you can imagine to pay for you staying in the church you're assigned to.
Amen. Thank you.
You make it clear. If we go out in the public right now in this community and in the city and invite them to church, they will say things like, well, you don't know what was happening to me in church. You don't know what the pastor said or he did. You don't know who betrayed me, who took advantage of me, who stole from me within the church. It all happens. Not on here in Jesus' name, right?
Amen.
And our response, our realization personally has got to be, I don't care what happened to me. Not that I don't care, it's not going to change my decision. Jesus took the stripes so me as a symbol of the body of Christ can be healed and merged together as a body without division.
Amen.
No division. Now those that have been in here for a while, some of you are new today. If you ask our members that have been with us for a while, this is the most closely knit church I've ever been a part of.
Amen.
Amen.
There is zero division. Zero. There is no envy, no jealousy, no backbiting, no gossip, no jockeying for position. In fact, in here, we don't allow ourselves to talk about anybody else in the church in a negative fashion.
Amen.
We don't do it.
Amen.
See, here's like, we'll take communion before we're done. But how many here, you're born again, have received the blood to forgive you your sins? Raise your hand. The blood is forgiving your sins. Now hold your hand up, look around. All those hands are forgiven.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus sees them as sin free. The Father's attributed the blood. He sees them without transgression. And if you start gossiping about somebody that's been born again, you're saying, listen, you're saying the blood did a good job on me, but I'm not so sure about them. You're judging the blood is ineffective, the word says. See, we are so quick to forgive ourselves. I mean, we can blow it. We can mess up. Now, a few people, they'll carry the shame and the condemnation for a long time. You shouldn't do that. If you confess it, you repent, leave it behind.
Amen.
The devil wants to follow you and beat you up over it.
Yes, he does.
In fact, the devil's favorite thing is to slap people and say, God did it.
Yeah.
But it's your fault.
Yeah.
And have us carry shame and condemnation. Jesus paid the price of the blood. We don't carry shame and condemnation.
Yeah.
In fact, His blood was plucked, which was a shame for an Israelite to deliver us from shame. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And so we tend to be very quick to forgive ourselves. I mean, I repented of the same crime yesterday publicly. I really did. And it's gone. Do you follow me? Because sometimes we're not so fast to forgive others that we feel it wronged us. Well, they took my chair at church. Well, who did that? I didn't get permission for that. Who did this? I've had to work my faith this week. Because the ladies keep cleaning up, which means they're moving my tools. I brought in a plastic tub yesterday of nails and stuff I needed. Tools I needed. I looked, I knew where I put it. I put it right back there. I looked everywhere. Couldn't find the tub. And they unloaded my tub and put the individual containers in this stainless car over there. It took me 30 minutes to find it. I had to remind myself of my own messages. Because I've declared for years, once we start to grow, once we get in faster motion, just like when you compress a gas, molecules tend to hit together even more often and things heat up.
Yep.
You can't let it get to us.
Yep.
So I said, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they did.
We can turn that around.
I appreciate it, but we're going to be running into each other. Competing for supplies, for resources. My drill from passed around to 8 people this week. So the point is we tend to be quick to forgive each other. Amen?
Yes.
But the bread, that broken body, the enemy will always remind you what happened to you in church. What they said, what they did, how some, you know, pastors are falling left and right. I mean, we're seeing, God said He will purchase church in the end days. We're seeing men of God that have been playing games with the offerings or playing games with their holiness. You follow me? Hidden sin is being exposed. That's going to happen. Amen. But you can't let it move you from honoring the bread that says, by His stripes you were healed together. So in this stripe, again, the church is no jockeying for position. We're to uphold one another. And I can tell you honestly, there's not a person coming to this church that I wouldn't help in a moment for whatever they need. In fact, I probably should be careful saying this because it happened last night. A lot of people turn their phone off at mealtime. They turn it off at night. My phone is never off.
Amen.
Never off. Some of you called me at 3 in the morning before with an emergency. Something going on. Because a lot of times your prayer needs don't fall on a set schedule.
That's right.
And there may come a time where we're big enough and I'm getting 40 calls a night, we have to do something. But right now, I'm available. If you have an emergency, and don't call me and say, Pastor Jack, what's this verse mean? We're going to talk. If you're going through an emergency, like happened last night, Marcus over here is an Iraqi war veteran. He's got a bullet in his leg still for being wounded in combat. And called me 11 o'clock last night with an emergency prayer need. In fact, his wife's trying to get him to go to ER. He wouldn't go. And so we prayed for him and then led him to the Lord. Whatever we need to do to represent Jesus, we're going to do it. But the broken body says, I leave behind the hurts that happened to me within the church.
Yes.
And I determined to be united together as the bread made whole versus broken. I will do my part. I will bring my resources, my talents, my skills, and my words to be made whole in the body of Christ without concern of who did what or who said what or what's going where. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus took such a horrible punishment, He's already paid the price for whatever you've gone through. Paul had people complain to him about what they'd gone through. How they've been, you know. And understand Paul's day, where he lived. It's like that in some of the world right now. Iran right now, before yesterday, they killed over 30,000 Iranian citizens to hold back any kind of rebellion or revolution. They did it yesterday. Anyway, there's Christians being martyred around the world right now.
Yeah,
but not here. But they came to Paul and were complaining about what they were going through, and Paul says, "You've not yet suffered of the shedding of blood." Now, yesterday, Raymond's day before, Casey cut his knuckle right there. I'm so glad he didn't leave the church. Frost has got several little cuts on his hand. You follow me? And whatever you're going through, it doesn't compare to what Jesus took, that punishment he took for our healing as the body of Christ. See, he healed your physical body, but he also healed us as the body of Christ. We have no excuse, zero excuse not to be united in the body. It doesn't have to be this one. It should be, but it doesn't have to be. I'll let this settle in. You got to find the church God sent you to and submit yourself to be used in that church, to volunteer to God what you need to bring to the table. Let God take all of our giftings, our personalities, our talents, our wisdom, and birth the body. Now, I've been in churches before where the pastor ran a taut, what would be the word, tight ship, but nothing happened unless he approved it, and nothing happened, you know, you better not make a mistake. Karen will tell you I'm not like that. I believe God speaks to each of us. So when I give someone an assignment, unless you just make a major mistake, like hide my tools. That's okay.
It was me.
I didn't put a sign on it, do not move. I delegate authority and expect people to follow through with what's needed.
Amen.
And I watched it work all week. Downstairs, Peggy and others, BJ took over the kitchen and the bathrooms, and they're fixing everything, pulling, "We need this, we need that." I'm so happy. Peggy said yesterday, "I don't know what to do right now. How about if I just take all the trash and put it in bags?" I said, "Yes! You hear God!" The devil's not telling anybody to put the trash in contractor bags. And nobody's flesh is telling them that either. That had to be God. So my trailer's loaded up around back, heaped up with trash bags to take to the dump. And so it's watching people just hear God and move out and be the body of Christ. So in here, that's what we're going to do. We're going to hear God, not just me. Each of us are going to hear God and move out in the power of the kingdom of heaven. And God's going to show up and confirm it. If you follow me on this, we're going to see many people delivered, healed, born again, and step into their calling. Because that's my assignment. My assignment is to bring people into their calling, let them be disconnected from their past and move into the kingdom of heaven. Now again, I need to make this clear. A lot of people believe the kingdom of heaven is where we go when we die. No, that's heaven itself. That's the third heaven. You follow me? The kingdom of heaven is wherever God's kingdom is being proclaimed and acted upon. Look at John chapter 14. Thank you, God. Are you still with me? I never sat through messages this long. Oh, we're not even halfway. They put up a clock on me yesterday right here, so I wouldn't go too long. We don't have a definition of too long, so we should be pretty good. John 14, are you with me? One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 12, this is Jesus speaking. It's in the red. Verily, verily, or I guarantee it's what that means. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, do you believe on Jesus?
Yes.
The works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Amen.
And you'll do these when you get to heaven.
No.
It doesn't say that. Listen, we don't need to do the greater works when we get to heaven. Everybody's already going to be healed. There'll be no dead to raise in heaven. The third heaven. What it was saying is, if you learn my word, if you become a believer of what I've spoken, what I'm doing, you will do. Hold that thought. Turn with you to Matthew chapter 7. I'm preaching about four messages at one time, just to make a point. Pieces of four messages, not four total messages. I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 7, are you there?
Yeah.
Look at verse 24. Therefore, this is Jesus again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole thing for the sake of time, but he says, those that hear my sayings and do them build their house on a rock, and when the storms come, the house stands.
Yeah.
But he says, those that hear the sayings and don't do them build their house on the sand. And I've been this preach for 40 years plus. If we just obey God, we build our house on the rock. That's not what it says. Not what it says. Now, I believe that's important. You follow me? If you'll obey God in all things, you'll build your house on the rock.
Yes.
But if you don't know the word, you won't know if you're hearing God right or not. There's a lot of people hearing flaky voices out there. He said, if you obey my sayings. And again, I ministered this many times. I'm an engineer, so I look at things logically. Things have to hang together. So when he says, if you obey my sayings, I need to know what the sayings of Jesus are. And again, I could ask it this morning, and if I said, what were the sayings of Jesus? Some would say, he taught on the cross. He mentioned it a few times. Well, he taught on sin. Not a whole lot. The end times. He taught about the end times. Got a whole chapter or two on that he talked about. But those aren't the sayings of Jesus. Those were just individual messages. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will discover that Jesus said something like 138 times, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like. They would teach things like, if you can believe and speak to the mountain, it will obey you. If you sow a seed in the ground, it will come up and bring forth fruit if you believe on it. He told them the power of words, the power of faith, how the kingdom operates. They would teach on it and then he would demonstrate it. He would say, if you can believe and act and speak on it, on what I'm teaching, you can heal the sick, open blind eyes, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. See, what Jesus' sayings were is how the kingdom of heaven operates on earth. Now, again, as an engineer, they taught me in school the laws of physics. Now, Councilman, you were an industrial engineer, right? Industrial degree, is that what you told me? I'm a mechanic. And in mechanical engineering, they didn't tell me to teach me how to fix everything. They taught me the laws of physics. We'll teach you how things operate under motion. We'll teach you how things work with forces and stresses and how gravity works and electricity. You know, chemists would teach all these laws. And if you can know these laws, you can build things because everything follows those laws. Everything. This chair you're sitting in, what if it was made out of paper mache? How many would trust to sit in it? No, because there's laws of physics that declare it wouldn't hold you up, probably. Few of you are light enough, it might hold up. Not me. Everything operates in this universe by laws of physics. But God's operating out of a different heaven.
Amen.
Third heaven. It has its own laws. Laws that govern the power of what you speak. Or governed by the power of what you speak. Governed by faith. Governed by seed. We could go on and on. And these laws determine how things work in the third heaven. And Jesus said, they don't just work in the third heaven, they work here if you learn how to work them. He said, if you can learn these things, you can get the same results I get. So the disciples went out healing. delivering, casting out devils. That hadn't passed away.
Right.
People just haven't learned the saints. We've explained them away. Well, those don't operate anymore. They still operate the same now as they did then. Amen. And if you learn, I call them spiritual principles. If you learn the spiritual principles of the kingdom of heaven and do them now, you can get third heaven results. And through that, you don't have to be sick another day of your life. You don't have to be in pain. Isaiah 54 says he took our pain. 2 years ago, my wife convinced me to try to ride my unicycle again. Not really. It was my 70th birthday 2 years ago. I decided I wanted to ride my unicycle. I hadn't rode it in many years. And I went out there and I rode it a few times. She took some videos, but the videos weren't how I wanted them, so we went to do it again. And the last ride, I rode down the yard, 15 feet or so, and went to get off and fell backwards, and my ankle stuck under the pedal and snapped my ankle, like snapped a chicken bone. And she heard it pop from 25 feet away. And my ankle's laying sideways on my foot. And I got up. There was a short shot of pain. And I said, wait a minute, Isaiah 54, he took my pain. I got up with no pain.
All right, ma'am.
In fact, I started to walk. And I said, I'm healed. I can walk. And I went to walk. And it was just jello. And I said, God, my faith isn't there right now. Just being honest. I said, Daddy, you give me a wallet to get a pain pill in case I need it. We had some left over from dental work. She comes out. I hop to the car. I get in the car. Zero pain. I get in the hospital and tell them I've shattered my ankle. No pain. They won't believe me. I get there. There's one person waiting room ahead of me. I get there. I wait for an hour before anybody speaks to me because I have no pain. They finally get me in the ER waiting room. I sit there for another 4 hours.
Wow.
I borrow some crutches to get to the bathroom. I'm going around praying for people in the hospital with no pain. I finally, nobody's helping me. I went to the desk a couple times. Is anybody help me? Well, sir, we'll get to you. There was only one person lying ahead of me. They put the whole hospital in front of me. I don't think I offended anybody. Finally, I flagged down a portable x-ray machine going down the hall. Is that x-ray machine? Yes, sir. I said, can you come and take a picture of his ankle? I'm having trouble getting service. It was Frankfurt Hospital, not Georgetown. They take a scan. I sit there another hour. So I'm 5 hours waiting for somebody to help me. Finally, after 5 hours, they have me in a room now, just sitting, still nobody talking to me. They finally, a nurse comes in and says, sir, we got the pictures for your x-ray. I said, is it broken? She says, yeah. I said, is it bad? She says, yeah. Shattered my ankle in 3 places. It's now got plates and screws in it. They put it together the next day. And I was there all day and all night, no medic, not even aspirin, without a single bit of pain, because I claimed Isaiah 54. To the point they wouldn't even wait on me. Finally, when they saw the x-rays, oh, we better get to this. And they scheduled me for emergency surgery the next day. And so, what I'm getting at is we can live out of this kingdom. Jesus, and you can do the greater works. But part of the requirement is you honor the cup. You don't judge people in the body. You honor the bread. You refuse to be offended yourself. Do you follow me? Now for 30 years, at least 30 years, I've been teaching how to walk in covenant as a member of the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And over 30 years ago, God gave me 4 rules. I attribute God, I believe He gave it to me. 4 rules to being a covenant Christian will not be broken out of the body. See, the devil wants to, as long as we stay together as one, you're under a covering, a covenant covering, enemy can't want to penetrate. You ever seen the videos of the lions attacking the water buffalo? And if the water buffalo don't break rank and they stay with their horns out, all the young and the weak in the center, the lions can't get to any prey.
That's right.
So they start dodging, they start jumping at the herd. We have videos of this, but We don't have a TV right now. Jumping at the herd, trying to get the herd to panic and scatter, and then they can get to the weak and the young. If we stay in the body of Christ, we're horns out. The devil can't penetrate. Not any great level. But he wants to separate you out. Mainly through offense or flakiness. So he can pick you off out there outside of the covenant. You follow me?
Yes.
So I was given four rules of covenant keeping. I want to share those really quick, closing this morning. Rule number one is a covenant Christian. Write these down if you need to. A covenant Christian, they're going to be on a sign in here anyway, very simple. A covenant Christian refuses to criticize, critique, or condemn anybody else in the body.
Amen.
You refuse to gossip.
Yes.
Did you see the outfit she had? Those shoes didn't even match. And where did she find that purse? It's kind of interesting. I use a woman as an example. Blue the guys. Did you see he was using a Ryobi drill? Ha 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 ha! We had that the other day. Who had the Ryobi? Frosty, did you have the Ryobi? Who has the Ryobi stuff?
No, I can't take credit for that.
Is that you? No. Somebody had Ryobi stuff in here.
Must have been Lexington.
Use it, huh?
Must have been Lexington.
Probably. Yeah, it was Lexington people. Yeah, Lexington people, yeah. He got Ryobi stuff. Says, we can. That's that the Walton Porter Cable people are on the wall. So cheap stuff, you know, that's that. Anyway, guys do it too. A covenant Christian refuses to criticize those in the body. You refuse it. I don't care what you saw. It's between them and God.
Amen.
Unless you see something as a threat to the body or threat to other people, keep your mouth shut. And if you see it, come to them. You know, go to them privately. And if that doesn't work, go to the pastor. Don't go to the whole body as the gossip mouth of hell.
That's right.
So number one, you refuse to be critical. That represents the blood. You see people as righteous. Rule number two, and I never tied this together initially. I just had the rules, but now I see how they tie together. Rule number two is you refuse to be offended. Rule number two is the fail-safe if somebody else blows rule number one. Because it's going to happen. You refuse offense. That's the bread. You become unoffendable. I don't know what they say about you. You're under the blood. They're attacking Jesus. And they're attacking you because you're part of the body. Just let it go. It doesn't matter. I've been attacking you. Hey, I've been attacked for preaching with Harley shirts behind the pulpit. It's not like it was a gold wing or nothing. Wayne appreciated that with such a family. You refuse offense. Rule number three is you live your life as a servant. You bring what you have into the body. And you're not there for what you can get, you're for there what you can deliver. I was so impressed this week. Peggy was buying pizzas. I mean, it's pretty expensive. Just, Peggy, I'll reimburse you. Nope, it's on me. Linda and BJ were buying curtains and rods and stuff. It's on me. Actually, the curtains need testimony. We found these curtains when we came in. They weren't for here because there was no curtains there. They were in a bag downstairs. We were throwing them away, and BJ found them and says, I bet I can clean those up, put them on and launder them, and now we got curtains here.
Yeah.
Now I got to bring my steamer in to get the wrinkles out. I got a commercial steamer. I'll have those looking nice. But they're paying for all this stuff. I'll reimburse you. No, Pastor, I want this to be my seat. That's part of bringing your supply to the kingdom of God.
Yep.
You're living as a servant, step number three. Step number four is obey the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Develop a relationship with God. You can hear God what you're supposed to do. And not every verse what you hear is God. Better align with the Word, right?
Yeah.
And part of my job as pastor to tell you if it's God or not. So, the point of this whole message, doesn't matter what happened to you in church somewhere else, or even here, Jesus took a horrible punishment, tortured, bring us together as one body, one heart, one mind, right? One vision. God's assignment to us is, I don't have time to show the vision this morning. God gave me a vision in 1989 of intercessors coming together in the first thing, a city of glory.
Yes.
God, so wherever my people in the end times will gather together and pray, and I'm talking about really pray, I'm going to raise up a city of glory.
Yes.
I'll be Georgetown in one of those locations.
Amen.
So you listen, we're not starting Friday night prayer yet, very soon. We're having prayer here every day, Monday through Friday at 2 o'clock, 2 to 3 o'clock or beyond. If you want to come in and pray, we'll be over for prayer at 2 o'clock. And I'll be involved in it this week. We'll put down tools for that hour. You follow me?
Yes.
You got anything out of this morning?
Yeah. You want to pray us out? You want to pray us out and then I'll get communion?
So, Father, we thank you in this church. There are none sick. None in pain. We thank you, Lord God, you healed us. We declare there are none in lack. You've prospered us. There's none in strife and none oppressed. Suicide has no place in this congregation. We bind those spirits and tell them to leave now.
Yes.
Lack spirits leave. Sickness leave. And I thank you, Father, we are united by the blood and bread of Christ. You created in us a one united body to bring forth your glory. I thank you for divine encounters, divine appointments all week to bring people to your kingdom, to share the good news of the gospel. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.